Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Living Tarot, Connecting the Cards to Everyday Life for Better Readings, by T. Susan Chang. Narrated by Rebecca Lamb. Publisher's Note: This audiobook includes bonus material. Please visit tantor.com and type The Living Tarot into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page, then, under the Supplemental Content section, please enter the access code DECK, and then click the Unlock button to access the bonus material. The code should be entered in all lowercase letters. All illustrations, charts, tables, and other visual elements referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Introducing The Living Tarot. Today, something's different about you. You decided to pick up a tarot deck for the first time. Or maybe you have a tarot deck someone gave you ages ago, and for some reason, it suddenly called to you. Or maybe you've been dabbling in tarot for years, and it's never quite scratched that itch, but you know it could. Whichever it is, congratulations. You bought this book, which means you've crossed a magical threshold. And when you look back at this day 10, 20, 30 years from now, you'll say, that was when everything changed. But right now, let's face it, you have questions. Any sensible person living in the 21st century, like you, is going to have plenty of doubts about tarot. Is this really going to work? Am I psychic enough to do this? I never thought I was before. What does psychic even mean? What about my free will? What about fate? Can I really memorize meanings for 78 cards? Will my friends and family laugh if they find out? And also, of course, depending on where you're coming from, is it evil? For 25 years, I've been reading tarot and wrestling with these questions. If I'm at peace with them today, it's because of that long journey, which was so personal and so idiosyncratic, I've sometimes thought, can you even teach anyone tarot? Doesn't everyone have to figure it out for themselves? On the other hand, I don't really think that there's such a thing as a novice tarot reader or a tarot beginner. I believe anyone can get meaningful, life-changing results from tarot from day one, because tarot is weird and uncanny and miraculous that way. So, again, can you even teach anyone tarot? Won't tarot happen whether you're trying or not? Over the years, I've come to this conclusion. No, you can't teach anyone tarot. But maybe, just maybe, you can teach someone to teach themselves tarot. And that's what this book aims to do. Here are the two things I hope you'll come away with by the end of our time together. 1. Learn to find meanings in the cards for yourself. Reading tarot, when it comes right down to it, is about finding meaning in a set of 78 images. Let's face it, you're not going to learn, really learn, all those meanings from the little book that comes with the deck, or from somebody else's cookbook of meanings. They might be a starting point, but when you truly read tarot, tarot is everywhere. You see it. You breathe it. You feel it in your bones. That's what I mean by living tarot. That's because tarot is just a way of talking about the world that exists all around you. Everything out there is in the cards. You just have to make the connections between tarot and the everyday life you're already living. You don't have to memorize the meaning of each card so much as uncover it. The good news here is you're learning something you already know. So how hard can that be? By the end of this book, actually, by the time you've finished chapter 3, you'll have developed a core encyclopedia of 78 meanings. What tarot means to you. And no one can ever take that away from you. 2. Figure out how tarot fits into your life. You are a deep thinker. If you weren't, you wouldn't even be entertaining the possibility that tarot might have something to offer you. You know that looking for meaning in randomly drawn images has implications. Implications about reality, about the way the world actually works. Chapters 4, 7, and 8 of this book offer you a way of dealing with that. They'll give you a working framework for trusting the uncanny synchronicities you deal with on a daily basis when you read tarot. It'll help you find your way to thinking about reality in a manner which, I believe, coheres and holds together intellectually. This should save you a lot of cognitive dissonance and second-guessing as you're getting along. If you're new to tarot, this book should help you find your way to reading with a reasonable degree of fluidity and confidence by the time you get through all 8 chapters. Tarot may be the work of a lifetime, but you can be up and running in a few weeks. If you've been reading tarot for a while already, this book should still help you solidify some of your practices, fill in some of your interpretive gaps, and help you find ways to crystallize and deepen your work with the cards. In fact, even after 25 years, I do the assignments in this book myself all the time. They're a core part of my praxis. What you need. As far as magical practices go, tarot has an incredibly low barrier to entry. You don't need an athame or a special ceremonial robe or a stack of parchment or myrrh ink. You don't need to fast for a day or a week or memorize any incantations. To read tarot, all you need is a set of tarot cards. And to complete this workbook, you don't need much more than that. The way I see it, there are really just 3 requirements if you want to undertake the work outlined in this book. First, you'll need a Rider-Waite-Smith tarot deck. These are easy to find. Look for the keywords Rider, Waite, Smith, Pamela Coleman Smith, 1909, or any combination, like Rider-Waite or Waite-Smith. Confusing? Rider was the original publisher. Arthur Edward Waite was the magician who conceptualized it, and Pamela Coleman Smith, known lovingly to tarotists everywhere as Pixie, was the artist. The deck was first released in 1909. There are about 1 million different versions with different colorations, sizes, cardstocks, etc. Just pick one that appeals to you and that you can imagine getting to know so well you can see it in your sleep. And yes, you can buy it for yourself in a store or online. Nobody has to give you your first tarot deck. And you don't have to steal it. Please don't. We're using Rider-Waite-Smith because it's the universal language of most English-speaking tarot readers. And because the minor arcana, Ace through Ten cards, have relatable pictures of ordinary people doing ordinary things. These are known as scenic minors, and not every tarot deck has them. Aleister Crowley's Thoth deck, for example, is popular for its moody, cryptic vibe. But apart from the quartz and majors, it contains no human figures. The Tarot de Marseille, a family of woodcut decks dating from 17th century Europe and still very popular there, has what are known as pip cards, featuring only the appropriate number of suit emblems on its number cards, rather like an ordinary playing card deck. In fact, many Tarot de Marseille readers work only with the major arcana. Neither Thoth nor Marseille decks will work for the Living Tarot, so if you're interested in those, you'll probably be better off seeking out books specifically designed for them. The next thing that you'll need is something to write in. It really doesn't matter if it's a physical notebook or a collection of digital documents and spreadsheets. You'll be keeping track of card meanings. So, if you're using a physical notebook, you'll want at least 1 page for each of the 78 cards. You'll also be doing writing exercises, word problems, creating tables, etc. You can keep your work on your laptop or in a special journal or in the notebook with your card meanings. If you're artistic, there will be ways for you to express that. If you're not, you won't have to. I do practically everything on my laptop, but lots of people find that writing by hand helps them remember and learn better. You do you. The last thing you'll need is commitment. There's a lot of thinking and a lot of writing. So if you hate writing, this is probably not the workbook for you. You're also going to need to draw a card of the day every single day. The other assignments you can tackle on your own time. It's all right if it takes you years to listen to this book from beginning to end. But the card of the day practice is something that really has to happen every day. It's not necessarily going to take you a lot of time once you're past chapter one. You can do it in a couple minutes, or luxuriate in the process and take an hour if you want. But it needs to be part of your routine, the way brushing your teeth is part of your routine, I hope. If you'd like to add in some tarot content that's more esoteric, you may enjoy my other works. Tarot Correspondences, Ancient Secrets for Everyday Readers, Llewellyn 2018, a comprehensive guide to astrological, numeric, Kabbalistic, and elemental correspondences to the cards, together with ways to use them. 36 Secrets, a decanic journey through the minor arcana of the tarot, Anima Mundi 2021, a deep dive into the numeric 2 through 10 minor cards, and my most personal work. The Fortune's Wheelhouse Podcast, a show I created with the tarot artist M.M. Moline. It has an hour-long episode on each card, and it is available anywhere you listen to podcasts. Tarot Deciphered, Decoding Esoteric Symbolism in Modern Tarot, Llewellyn 2021. Essentially the text version of Fortune's Wheelhouse, expanded out into a 600-page reference volume. These books are not necessary for you to do the coursework, but you may find them helpful, especially for Chapters 3, Tarot Forward, and 8, Tarot Magic. Tarot Correspondences in particular has a ton of reference material you might otherwise find yourself looking up online or in a variety of primary sources, which is a pain. I wrote it to save myself some trouble, and hopefully it will save you some trouble as well. Time frame. This is a self-directed workbook, organized into 8 sections. You can take as long as you want to do them. It's not a bad idea to set goals, though, especially if you're like me and can't do anything unless there's a deadline. So, here are some suggestions for how long you might take to make your way through the entirety of the work. Chapter 1, Card of the Day, 1 to 2 weeks. Chapter 2, Tarot Backward, 2 to 4 weeks. Chapter 3, Tarot Forward, 2 to 4 weeks. Chapter 4, This I Believe, 1 week. Chapter 5, Ask a Question, 1 to 2 weeks. Chapter 6, Design a Spread, 2 to 3 weeks. Chapter 7, Rituals, Ethos, Praxis, 1 week. Chapter 8, Tarot Magic, 2 to 3 weeks. Chapters 2 and 3 are kind of twins, and you can do them simultaneously if you wish. Don't worry if life gets the better of you and it takes you longer than the 3 to 6 months projected. Just keep drawing a card a day and get back to deeper study whenever you have a chance. About the Living Tarot online course. The materials in this book derive from the Living Tarot online course, which I launched in 2018, and which now has over 300 students. The materials are organized a little differently online, simply because of the difference between print and digital media. If you wish, you can join the online course in addition to working through the book. If you do, you'll be able to attend the monthly Zoom meeting, where you can ask questions about the work, meet fellow students, discuss tarot synchronicities from your daily life, and try new spreads. I construct one each month. You'll also get personalized feedback on your final assignments from me. And if you make it all the way to graduation, you get to have a one-question reading with me. Whether or not you choose to do that, I'm glad you've chosen to teach yourself to read, and, more importantly, to live tarot. I hope your own journey with the cards is only just beginning. 1. Card of the Day. To learn tarot is to enter into a long-term relationship with meaning. And, like any long-term relationship, it depends not just on the moments of high drama, tragedy, exhilaration, and romance, although these certainly occur, but on the long, quiet, peaceful, ordinary stretches of life. Another way to look at it is this. Learning tarot is like learning a language. At first, you'll only be able to use it to accomplish the most basic of needs, how to feed yourself, or how to get from one place to another, and where to find the bathroom. But by having a little conversation every day, you gradually become comfortable communicating and picking up the subtleties, nuances, and insights that give all of our lives their texture and substance. In this chapter, you'll learn about drawing a daily card for yourself, why and when and where, and especially how. It's a habit I hope you'll keep up for life. I know I plan to. Even after a lifetime of reading tarot, I find the morning draw to be productive, fertile, surprising, and a source of renewed hope and possibility each day. Card of the Day provides a solid foundation for integrating tarot into the architecture of your life. It takes time, but from this praxis springs a deep capacity for metaphor. In its depths, you will find an enchanted mirror where truth endlessly shimmers if only you have the willingness and patience to look. Why draw a card every day? There are innumerable reasons to draw a card of the day, COTD from here on out, because life is short. But here are a few of my main ones. 1. If you draw every day over the course of a year, it's a virtual certainty that you will get every card. You will never again be nervous standing there looking at the card back and slowly turning it over, because no card will be a stranger to you. Sure, some will be close friends and some will be distant acquaintances, and some will be like relatives you barely tolerate. You may even have a crush on one or two of them. But the point is that these are facets of reality, parts of who you are, and there is no part of you that is not worth knowing. 2. It's good to keep promises to yourself. As one of my favorite magical practitioners, Aidan Wachter, puts it, I can decide to decide something once. In other words, there is a freedom in not having to second-guess things in your life. You probably don't agonize over whether to brush your teeth every day. You probably don't engage in a few hours of soul-searching before deciding it's time for breakfast. You can take the same attitude toward tarot. Can you really keep it up every single day? Sure you can. And if you miss a day, just start again. Tarot will never judge you for being human. Here's the thing. When you keep up a consistent daily practice, you're telling the universe that when you make a promise to yourself, nothing is more important. And you know what? Keeping promises to yourself is the basis of magical practice. 3. Every time you shuffle a deck of cards, you invite chance or fate or fortune to the table. By drawing a card out of that chaos, you are signaling that you accept what fate brings you through randomness. And by interpreting that card, you are signaling that you intend to take control of the meaning of your own fate. Because tarot is a microcosm of life, right? Life is full of uncertainties, and you never know exactly what it is going to bring you. But you can still face it, and you can take control of its meaning. Reading tarot is the micro version of that attitude, and I think you'll find it's deeply nourishing. More than that, reading tarot is a true act of courage. 4. COTD means discovering meanings, not memorizing them. Now, you could go on systematically through the little white book, or LWB, like the good student you are, and try to memorize each of those little key words: curiosity, struggle, distraction, abundance. But those key words, those meanings dreamed up by someone who's not you, they're so abstract. They have no connection to your personal life. Wouldn't you rather know in your bones that when you drew the Three of Cups this morning, it was because you were going to lunch with your two friends? Wouldn't you rather know that that day you lost your keys, Tarot warned you by giving the Five of Pentacles? This is what it means to engage with the living tarot. It means knowing, through sheer lived experience, the shape and personality of every card, the extent of its little kingdom. If you keep it up long enough and keep track of what you drew, tarot itself will tell you what each card means, and you will never, ever forget. 5. If you can interpret COTD, you can interpret any card in any spread. Learning how life shows up in the cards is literally the name of the game. If you can become fluent in the way tarot reflects life and life reflects tarot, you'll never be at a loss to derive insights from the cards for yourself or others. When should I draw my card? Morning is really best. Why? Because it gives your card the longest stretch of conscious awake time to show up. It gives you the benefit of divinatory support from the moment you begin your day. So, if you spill your morning coffee in your lap, or you run into a chance acquaintance while you're jogging, or there's a song you can't get out of your head while you're commuting to work, your card will give you a chance to harvest meaning from that happenstance. It will keep you company when you're alone, advise you when you're doubtful, comfort you when you're down. And when you're not thinking about it, it will just sit in the background subtly coloring your day like the strange attractor it is. Of course, there are times when it just doesn't happen. The alarm doesn't go off, your car doesn't start, your puppy has an accident. That's all right. Don't think, oh, well, I just won't draw today. Do it on your lunch break, or in the waiting room at the dentist's, or on the bus. If you're nervous about carrying a deck around with you, then use a tarot app on your phone. There is an argument for doing the draw at the end of the day. Some folks feel spooked by tarot's predictive power at first, and they feel more comfortable doing the draw when the day's done, as a kind of commentary on what happened. That's a way of harvesting meaning, too. And if it's the only way you can handle COTD, then do that. But do aim to draw in the morning, eventually. It's easy enough to just make it part of your routine, like brushing your teeth or shaving. By drawing in the morning, we signal that we are open to chaos. We are open to whatever happens. We are open to the randomness of this beautiful world. We are going to find ways to draw meaning from it, no matter what it brings us. And we're not afraid. Trust me, it will change your life. How do I shuffle? Guess what? Good news. There is no wrong way to shuffle. You can do a classic riffle shuffle, which interleaves either the short end or the long end of the cards. I find it easier to shuffle the long way, since tarot cards are so much larger than playing cards. You can do the overhand shuffle, which reorders clumps of cards as you pass them from one hand to the other. You can smush or wash the cards, spreading them out over a large surface and just mixing them around until they're jumbled. This last is my personal favorite, though it does lead to card reversals. We'll talk about that later. How do I choose a card? How many cards do I draw? We call it card of the day, but cards of the day, plural, can also work. Personally, I draw two. Many people draw two cards, because the cards can then have a kind of conversation with each other, a sort of relationship. You can try assigning roles to the cards. Something to look for and something to try is a scheme I've always enjoyed. It's also nice because it increases your exposure to the full range of the deck. Within 6 months, you'll likely have drawn all 78 cards. But one card alone will give you plenty of food for thought for the day. It's really just a matter of preference. Could you draw more? Sure. But the most important part of the practice is observing and reflecting on the draw. And personally, I find it hard to remember 3 cards or more as I'm going through all the distractions of my day. Once you've shuffled, you can cut the deck, or not. You can look at the card backs while you're choosing a card, or not. You can hold a crystal or light a candle or hum to yourself, or not. And here's a secret for you doubtful types. Tarot does not actually care if you were not concentrating when you drew the card. Tarot doesn't care if you second-guess yourself. Tarot doesn't care if you saw a bird fly by the window and got distracted. Tarot doesn't care if you were in a bad mood when you drew the card. And tarot doesn't care if you dropped a card on the floor and had to put it back in. Tarot does not even care if you're literally not playing with the full deck. I've done that too. My point is this. Go ahead and draw the card, and don't be overly nervous about whether you're doing it right. However, that said, I do have one suggestion. Try using your body to draw the card, not just your hands. Let me explain. Some people who are very tactile, like me, may have the experience of holding the deck and feeling something quite physical. It may feel as though the deck has a sort of electric current or a little bit of a buzz. Don't worry if you don't get that, but if you do, focus your attention on that feeling as you draw. If that doesn't sound familiar, try this exercise, which may help you locate the psychic buzz in your body. Assignment 1.1, Psychic Buzz Exercise. There's a particular feeling your body experiences when you love something. Let's see if we can find it. Instructions. 1. Think of something or somebody that you just adore. Something that makes you feel alive, that makes your blood thrum, that makes you excited about the next time you'll encounter it. It could be a hobby, it could be a person, it could be your cat. It could be the idea of sitting down and watching Netflix after a long day. The specifics don't matter. You're looking for whatever it is that makes you feel that warm sensation. What does that feel like in your body? Imagine yourself opening up and relaxing into it. It's a good feeling, right? That's your feeling of yes. Yes feels like blank in my body. 2. Now, take a moment to think of something that you detest, something you really cannot stand. I usually think about cheddar cheese. I know, don't hate. You'll feel yourself physically recoiling from the thought, trying to pull yourself away from it. That's your feeling of no. No feels like blank in my body. 3. So, now you know. The feeling of the thing you love is yes. The feeling of the thing you hate is no. Recognize how that feels in your body, the thing that makes you kind of choke and clench versus the thing that you open yourself to. When you are drawing your card, you want to use the body to search for that feeling of yes, of being open and relaxed and excited. This will, I promise, help you draw cards that are constructive and civic-minded, as opposed to snarky, judgmental, and/or opaque. The metaphysics behind this notion is the idea that the cosmos runs on eros, on desire, like the force of gravity or the attraction of one thing for another. As above, so below. As within, so without. As you lean into that feeling connecting you to the larger patterns of the world, you reflect those patterns in your actions and all that surrounds you, including your cards. Divination is about not being afraid. When I tell people I'm a tarot reader, there are 2 kinds of negative response, neither of which really bothers me. One is, Oh, I don't believe in that. That's completely understandable. Nothing in the way we're brought up as moderns would make anyone...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?